13 Days of Halloween is a production of iHeartRadio, Blumhouse Television, and Grim and Mild from Aaron Mankey. Headphones recommended. Listener discretion advised.
Good evening, friend. Welcome to the Sunset Lounge. Won't you join me at the bar? A libation? Oh, I've just the thing here. The architect, though possessing a sober mind, wasn't above a little tipple here and there. Oh, he inherited this particular spirit from a small tavern in Nantucket, which was, in its day, quite popular with the types of men who spent their lives at sea. The owner, Nathaniel Margraves, was a stingy type, particularly when it came to the fairer sex, particularly when it came to his barmaid. Oh, Lillian. Long auburn hair and eyes that changed color with the mood of the ocean. An ethereal laugh that she gave freely to anyone willing to earn it. And men worked to earn it all the time. And one night, a young sailor arrived at the tavern, causing Lillian to squeal with delight. A jealous chill overtook Nathaniel, who wasted no time, but poisoned a bottle of fine Oloroso with a small dram of arsenic that he kept for the rats. He brought it to the young man, saying, "Any friend of Lillian's," before returning to the bar to wait. The sailor turned out to be Lillian's brother, and quite a good man. And at the end of the night, a dozen were dead, including the beloved Lillian. Nathaniel was tried and executed, of course. Oh, no, don't worry. No, this isn't that bottle of Oloroso. Drink up. Oh, bravo, Mitch. Bravissimo! Oh, gosh, I cannot wait to introduce you. Mitch, dear heart, this is my friend who is simply dying to hear your tale. If you'll excuse me.
Listen, it's not too late. You can stop me right here. Just get up and walk away. It's okay. Because what I'm about to tell you is a key. A key that unlocks the door to a place that it shouldn't be. And once that door is open, there's no closing it again. All right. Can't say I didn't warn you. This was quite a few years back now. Friday night after work, me and the rest of the sales department hit our favorite watering hole to kick off the weekend. The last call, I wasn't hammered, but I sure wasn't ready to drive. You know the drill. No one to take home, no one to go back home to. Eventually, it was just me, the bartender, and him. This guy. One look at him, man. You get it. Being as I was raised to avoid a drunk down on his luck, I made sure to avoid eye contact, but screwed the pooch when I lit up a cigarette. But of course this fool asked me for one. Then a light. Next thing I know, he's camped out on the stool next to me with a fresh double. Right off the bat, he asked me for a ride to his car down a block. I tell him maybe the walk would do him some good. He grabs my wrist like we're on a first date at a horror movie.
They're out there, waiting. Children.
His eyes bulge with terror.
The children with eyes of starless night.
I remember those words exactly. Eyes of starless night. The poetry of it threw me off. I was listening when I should have been walking. He told me how a few nights ago he was at this bar. A few over from the one we were at. When the place closed, he made his way to his car, got in, and before he could start it up, there was a tapping on his window. He looked up. Two kids stood there. Teenagers. They looked weird. Pale white skin, long black hair with the tops of their faces hidden beneath wide-brimmed hats.
"Excuse me, sir. Could you give us a ride home, please?"
Normally, he would have just flipped them off and floored it. But suddenly, he was overcome with confusion. Then it struck. A terror that seized him on a biological level. Not that these kids looked particularly dangerous, but on a gut level, something was off. Something was wrong. Real wrong. He tried to leave, but there was a ringing in his ears. The hum of an invisible engine, feeding his skull electricity in panic. One of them demanded, and he was about to give. Reaching for the lock on the passenger side, he noticed their eyes.
Eyes of starless night. Eyes of starless night.
And I cut him off right there. Down my beer, and without a word, walked out the bar. By the time I got to my car, I was curious. It's like a car wreck. You know there's nothing to see, but you gotta see it for yourself anyway. I come up on this car, slow down, scope the scene. No one there. Everything he told me was just a bunch of two shadows step from around the car into the light. It's them. Knew better than to gawk, but I couldn't help myself. Something in the way they moved. Like sleepwalkers. Played at the wrong speed. Found myself transfixed. It was like watching someone else's bad dream. Next thing I know, they're stepping in front of my car until my headlights hit them up. I veered around them and put the pedal to the metal. When I looked in the rearview mirror, no one was there. Got home, popped open another beer, passed out in front of the TV, and the story. So I thought. Woke up to the power flickering on and off. Appliances beeping. Then going dead. Then beeping again. I laid there for, I don't know how long, unable to go back to sleep. But eventually, I began to drift off. I jolted awake, waited to see if it was a dream. Lay back down, pretending to be asleep, hoping whoever it was would take a hint and piss off. Grabbed my phone and turned on the flashlight app. Found a baseball bat stashed by my bed and made my way to the front door. Stood there.
Who is it?
You have to help me. Our parents are in a lot of trouble. You have to open the door. Please.
There was an urgency in the voice that I couldn't refuse. I propped the bat against the wall, ensuring it was in grabbing distance. Then, my hands shaking, opened the door while raising the flashlight. From behind the screen door, a little boy and an equally little girl stood there, shielding their faces from the glare.
"You have to let us."
There was something off about them. They didn't move except to keep the light from their eyes. When I asked them what happened, they just repeated the same words.
You have to let us in.
I caught a whiff of something. A stench of rotten eggs, but more acrid. And just then, a migraine knife jabs me between the eyes.
Please, sir. I know you can hear us.
Then I heard it, humming in my ears. Surge of power throbbing through the skull, drowning out my thoughts.
Let us in.
Suddenly, I couldn't help myself. Of course I would let them in. It all made perfect sense. Just as I reached for the screen door to unlock it, my phone lit up their faces. And there it was. Eyes, a starless night. I snapped out of it. Slammed the door, dialed 911. But all of a sudden, my phone's got no service. The power was humming in my skull again. It was making me dizzy, and I stumbled back. They stood there, knocking on the door until dawn. That's when the power came back on. My phone started working again, and they went away. I almost called out sick, but I was too freaked out to stay home alone. I worked through the day, and the more I dwelled on it, the more I realized that it must have been a nightmare. Nothing more. Until the next night, that buzzing noise in my skull again.
Please, sir. I know you can hear us.
They were standing in the bushes outside my window. They clawed at the glass and then tried opening the window. When that didn't work, I could hear them scurrying around, making their way through the backyard, searching for an opening. They kept at it until dawn and then disappeared. I knew if I phoned the cops, they'd just think I was crazy. So I called my therapist. Told her my story in detail. She told me I was just a victim of a prank, but agreed to pencil me in the next day. That night, I finally slept free of any interruptions. When I showed up for my session the following afternoon, my therapist hadn't shown up and wasn't returning any calls. I think I knew even then what happened. Later, back home, the power died again. And right on cue. Only this time, they knocked on the door to my bedroom. They rattled the doorknob. Told me they knew I could hear them. That I needed to open the door, let them in. I could hear them rummaging around my home, knocking on different walls, making their way to the attic to claw at the ceiling. All night it went on. I didn't know what to do but call my best friend. I told him everything. Begged him to come over that night, to wait with me, to prove me crazy or sane. Reluctantly, my request was granted. He promised to come by after work. That night, he didn't show up, and neither did the black-eyed children. That's when I figured it out. We're being invaded. Not just our nation, but the whole damn planet. They're not traveling here in no UFO or through some gateway to hell like in the movies. Mm-mm. They come here through stories. Stories about children with eyes, starless night, that once heard opens the door for them to the listener's world. But there's a way out. All you have to do, let's pass the story along to some other poor sucker. Only then They let you sleep, but only for a night. It provides incentive for you to find an audience for them, an audience for them to enter our world through. Which brings me to you. I know you don't believe me, at least not until they come knocking on your door. But when they do, you'll have a choice to make. Let them in or tell their story.
Tragic, no? But there he sits, every evening until the sun departs. Tonight, he'll continue on well past the witching hour, and that's thanks to you. So much power exists in the simple act of listening. A word of warning to you. If tonight you hear a knock on your door, perhaps best to let them believe that you're not in. Just roll over and go back to sleep, no matter how insistent they may become. Well, my friend, you look tired, and the evening does seem to be wearing on. We have much yet to explore in the days ahead if we're going to find that door. One more thing. You'll find complimentary earplugs in the washroom cabinet. Better safe than sorry. Adieu. May flights of angels sing thee to thy rest.
Thirteen Days of Halloween was created by Matt Frederick and Alex Williams and executive produced by Aaron Mankey, starring Keegan-Michael Key as the caretaker. Today's story was written by Robert Mosca, performed by Jason Williams, and directed by Matt Frederick, with editing and sound design by Trevor Young. Additional writing and script supervision from Nicholas Tikoski. Casting by Jessica Luza. Only 8 days remain. Tomorrow, another story.
Sometimes newborn children open their eyes and see the sun or a bright blue star in the darkness. And they think it sees them as well. And they smile, and they are beautiful. For some people, he said, it's a day. A night on the water. A graduation walk, a glory that was their Rome. For some people, it's a moment, and they often do not see it when it happens. To see it, to be seen. They look back years later and they think, I was beautiful.
13 Days of Halloween is a production of iHeartRadio, Blumhouse Television, and Grim and Mild from Aaron Mankey. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And learn more about 13 Days of Halloween at grimandmild.com.